For some years now, I've tried to get my buddy to come and preach once. Yes. My preaching has been changed, and my teaching has been changed as a result of this man. Amen. He won't mention it very much, but it's true.
Amen.
We had the opportunity to do seminary together. Mm-hmm. That's the truth. And afterward, we were just meeting at Starbucks just to discuss the Word of God because we enjoyed it. And it wasn't anything. We weren't like, oh, let's do this or oh, let's do that. I'll never forget, there was an Englishman, David, a filmmaker who's quite notable. And he came to the church and in another building that we were at a different time. And an interesting thing happened. He got in a motorcycle accident. Remember that?
I remember that.
And he got in a motorcycle accident on a Friday. He came to church and his kneecap was over here. Mm. I don't even know why the man came to church. The whole bike, they had to lift the bike off of him. In the service, God put his kneecap back.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, yes, he did.
You all have no idea. Put his kneecap back, and he got up praising the Lord, and he said, what can I do? And he felt led to start radio broadcasts. And so John and I began to record Voice America. You remember that? And then from there, then we went to KXEG. And then from there, by the wisdom of God through John, we went to podcasts mm-hmm. and things of that nature. I love the man that's going to come to you.
Yes.
He said to me, I'll go to him with some real technical stuff, right? And he has the same technical mind.
He absolutely does.
And he'll look at me and he'll stop me. He'll say, he does this, he'll say. So what?
Right, says, right.
What? So what?
Says, what difference does it make to the person that's in the pew? Dang it! It's the Lord, John! Yeah, but the Lord wants to change people's lives.
Amen.
He's changed my preaching because he helped me with the Pauline effect of application, not just technicality.
Yes.
That's the truth.
Well, yes.
He's a great scholastic academic thinker, very humble man. One of my dreams was, Lord, let him come here to invest in the body of Christ.
Yes, amen.
But I have a second agenda. I want you to intensely pray for him while God is speaking through him.
Yes, amen.
Because I'm thinking that a cloak will go back home with him to resurrection. I'm serious. Do you all hear me now?
Yes,
I want the residue of the aroma of God.
Yes.
Because that's one of my favorite churches. I love that church. Mm-hmm. And his precious, beautiful wife and family are here. Can you put your hands together? So there's not many individuals who have the opportunity to introduce their best friend.
Mm.
I get that. I'm a privilege. We've jogged together, we've walked together, and it always leads us to a conversation in the Word of God.
Yes.
Sharon, I am always better when I'm with you. That's the truth. It's very cool. Stretch your hands toward Pastor John Core. Father, now, speak to me. Speak to him and through him. Let the anointing of the living God all fresh upon him. And I pray that the grace of God would so infiltrate his soul that what comes out is the eternal word of God with power.
Mm-hmm.
Cause us to think, yes, but cause us to be transformed through the information that you give to our minds. And Father, so speak to him and through him that a cloak goes back with him to this wonderful church resurrection.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, you're invited to speak by your word and bring deliverance in this congregation today. May the hand of God, the face of God, the presence of God, the smile of God be in and upon and active through this man. I thank you for that, Lord. Nothing better than to see your glory revealed here today would be my prayer. So accomplish it in Jesus' name. And every child of God said,
amen.
Would you please join me in putting your hands together and receiving Pastor Tom. Selling oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers seated at their tables. And he made a scourge of cords and drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who were selling the doves, he said, take these things away. Stop making my father's house a place of business. That will preach today in some churches, but I don't go there. His disciples remember that it was written, zeal for your house will consume me. And the Jews then said to him, what sign do you show us as your authority for doing these things? Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jews then said, it took us 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body. So that when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had spoken. Now, it was the Passover time in Jerusalem. During the feast, many believed in his name, observing his signs which he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, was not entrusting himself to them, for he knew all men. And because he did not need anyone to testify concerning man, for he knew what was in man. Wow. So John writes his gospel with the intent of showing forth that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. He actually constructs the entire Gospel of John around various signs, seven, possibly eight, but seven major signs. He tells us later in John chapter 20 that this is the reason why he writes his book. That these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Son of God, he's the Messiah. Early in the chapter, before this, he does the first miracle, which is changing the water into wine at Cana. A celebration of sorts. Wedding feast that was supposed to go a week. They run out of wine quickly. And he changes that circumstance into one of celebration. Jesus then goes back to Capernaum with his family. Stays there for a short period of time. And then he goes up to Jerusalem. Now I'll give you a little technical stuff because I know you guys are used to a little technical. my brother here. When you travel to Jerusalem, you're going to go up in elevation. It's similar to going to Prescott. Okay? You're going up to Jerusalem. And certain times of the year, if you're a Jewish man, you're going to go up to Jerusalem for a festival of peace. And one of them is the Passover. It says that the Passover of the Jews was near. And just sort of by way of reminder, the Passover celebrated the Exodus. The freeing of the children of Israel that were in bondage for 400 years. And of course, you've seen the movies, right? Charles Heston, Let My People Go.
Yes.
10 plagues. And of course, the last plague, God was going to kill all the firstborn. And of course, you were to take a lamb and first of all take it as a pet for a little bit and then slaughter it and apply its blood on the doorpost.
Right.
And everyone who was in that house, the angel that went over to kill the firstborn would pass over that house in spiritual.
Yes.
So that was a major feast. If you were a Jewish man, you had to go and participate in this. Now Jesus comes on the scene. I'm going to paint a picture of what it would have been like. They estimate there was probably over 2 million visitors to Jerusalem at this time. You had traveled from all parts of the world, possibly. You had brought your families with you. Maybe you brought your family dog with you. I don't know. Maybe you guys like to travel with your dog. Left him at home. You had come to Jerusalem to offer sacrifice, to celebrate this marvelous day. Jesus says that the Passover of Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those who were selling oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers. The temple was actually a remake of Zerubbabel's temple. The temple actually was originally built by Solomon. Solomon was the original builder of the temple. That temple was destroyed by Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar.
Yep.
It was rebuilt by Zerubbabel, but Herod decided to make it really, really, you know, modern and make it really big. He started the building in about 20 BC. I'm just going to give you some information on this temple. I want to give you the picture. Okay. He starts this massive building program in about 20 BC, and he makes the temple itself, the actual house of God, we'll call it, in about 2 or 3 years. But then he decides to build other buildings and other courts and buildings attached to it and all this. And it took him many more years. In fact, the Jewish here says it took him 46 years to build it.
Right.
But
But actually, it didn't get stopped building until AD 64.
Wow.
It's destroyed in AD 70 by the Romans. Okay. This was a massive temple. Josephus writes that it was possibly, if you can imagine, wide, about 600 feet wide,
wow,
and 600 feet in depth and long. So imagine 2 football fields wide. It's huge.
Yeah.
You can go today to Israel. Maybe someday we'll have our churches go to Israel together, brother.
Amen.
Okay? It's 600 feet wide, 600 feet deep. Okay? It consists of various courts. And in fact, Herod, he wanted to get in on the... He wasn't Jewish. He was from a descendant of Esau. So he wasn't really a good guy, but he wanted to sort of placate them. And so he had, you know, like thousands of priests be involved and architects that were, you know, Jewish. And so he poured a lot of money into it, a lot of time. It consists of, first of all, the outer courts, which if you came, the outer courts were the courts of the Gentile. Huge, okay? Because as a temple for the Jewish God, it was also supposed to be a light to the Gentiles, right? The Gentiles who were converted could participate.
Right.
So you had the courts for the Gentiles.
Yeah.
You also had the court of the women.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Then you had the court of the men, or the court of Israel, it's also called. Then you had the court of the priests. Then you had the temple itself. You had the holy place where the priests would burn incense, and they'd have the menorah on the one side and the showbread on the other side, right? And then there was this huge curtain. Well, not really huge, just...
Yeah.
And then the Holy of Holies,
mm-hmm, yes,
was the ark, right?
Right.
And what was in the Holy of Holies? The very presence of God.
Yes.
Right.
You had the very presence of God in the Holy of Holies. You had the holy place and the various courts. On the outskirts was the court of the Gentiles.
Yes.
So if you're traveling, you're going to participate in one way or another in this time at Passover. According to the Jewish law, here's what happened on Passover. Just to give you a little more background, because I just want to give you a picture of what happened. Around the 15th of Nisan, which is the middle of April in our calendar, Jewish follows a lunar calendar. That's why Easter is always on different, because Passover is on a different, because it's every year. You would come and you would bring sacrifice to the priest there. At home, of course, you would participate in the feast, and later on the Passover, followed by the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which lasted for 7 days, they were often called Passover together. Okay? So it was a great celebration. Okay? Jesus comes on the scene. Of course, he sees the oxen and the doves and the money changers. Who are they? Originally, if you were to visit Israel, you have Temple Mount. Okay, let's say this is Temple Mount. Then you have what is called the Kidron Valley. And on the other side, you have the Mount of Olives.
Right.
Wow.
Okay?
Yeah.
Originally, what you would do is you would go to the Mount of Olives, bring your animals there, and they would process the animals there. Okay? At some point, the priest, in negotiating with the Sanhedrin, decided to bring those animals into the court of the Gentiles. Okay?
Yeah.
Within the area that the priests worked in, it was a massive altar. Next to it, there would be places where they would take the dead animals and hang them or cut them up to get ready for putting on the altar to burn.
Right.
Okay?
Yes.
So it was a very bloody ordeal, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Constant.
Right.
Okay? So at some point, they move the animals to the court of the Gentiles. For convenience sake. Mm-hmm. was this, is that the priests decided to sort of, and this is led by Caiaphas and Annas, they were related, father and son. By the way, this is a side note, the early priests, Annas and Caiaphas, were very antithetical to Jesus and his family.
Right.
In fact, the first leaders of the Christian church were Jesus' brothers.
Right.
James is not the James from the disciples, it's James, Jesus' half-brother.
Right.
Right. So there's this tension between the two families. There's a whole other story. Okay. So the priest decided if you brought your animals, you had to have them inspected. Because the animal had to be, you know, without blemish, had to be pure.
Right.
And wouldn't you know? You would come traveling with your turtle doves and your pigeons, all to find out that doesn't meet the standard of the priest.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
But, hey, you don't want to have to go back home.
Hey,
we got a deal for you. What happened is you can exchange your little pets for temple-approved animals. But it'll cost you. How many guys like to go to a sporting event?
Oh, yeah.
You guys are D-backs fans.
Giants.
Giants. Okay. Ushers. Sometimes you go to a baseball game and they have these vendors outside, right?
Yeah.
They're selling their bottles of water.
Yeah.
$1.50 for $2 of water. Why? Because if you don't buy it here, it's going to cost you $10 inside.
Exactly.
Right? In a similar way, you come with your two turtle doves, two pigeons worth a nickel, and they charge you $2 inside the temple.
Right.
Wow.
Yep.
So you're in the court of the Gentiles. Being taken advantage of.
Mm-hmm. Wow, look at that.
Now, I want you to picture the scene. What's behind me, behind the curtain here?
The presence of
God is there.
Wow.
Oh, hold on. Wow. Not only that, is, what do you got? You guys like to travel? You guys like to travel?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What are you going to bring me to traveling? You're going to Israel. What are you going to bring? Besides luggage.
Money.
Money.
Yeah.
You mean dollars? No, you're going to go into a bank and exchange it, right?
Yeah.
So you're going to bring shekels, I think it is. I forget what the currency is today. I think it's shekels still. You're going to go to the bank and say, I need some shekels. Mm-hmm. They didn't take American dollars.
Right.
I'm bringing my passport, and I'm going to bring my little electrical plug thing because I want my computer working.
That's right.
Well, wouldn't you know it? This is what they. If you came to the temple, first of all, you had to pay a temple tax. If you were age 20 and over, you had to pay a half a shekel. So usually shekels are in one shekel, and so you and a friend would take one coin for the two of us. But they don't take your money at the temple.
Right.
They don't take dollars. But you can exchange it for temple currency.
Come on.
Wow.
So you have to exchange it for, So what happened is this, is that the priests.
Wow.
Who were writing the show.
Right.
Yes, come on.
You know, nothing's changed over the years. Has it? Nothing's changed over the years, has it?
Wow.
It's all about taking advantage of people and money, right? In the name of God, right?
Come on, there it is.
Yes,
sir.
Yes.
My Lord.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Wow. Wow.
That's right.
There's a special place in hell for people like that. Excuse me.
Woo-hoo!
Sorry. Can I just say that? I'm not going to, that's between them and God.
Bring it, brother, bring it.
Yes.
So you were charged for your animals that you thought you brought was good, and you were charged to exchange your currency, which they took a huge percentage off.
Mm.
You're in the outer courts and the temple courts.
Uh-huh.
The glory of God is behind you, behind his curtains.
Yes, yes, yes.
Now imagine this. Now, Jesus, the scene that we've probably seen in the movies before is, of course, he's going and throwing things. All right, he's doing, you know, like that, right? And of course, it doesn't fit the picture most of us think of Jesus, right? Making mild, you know. No, it's Jesus who's more concerned with the glory of God and with the honor of God. See, I asked my church this morning, I said, because in our welcome time, I usually ask a question, and the question often relates to it. So I said, if you were going to be stranded on a deserted island, or if there was a hurricane coming or something, and you had to grab the most prized possession, what would that be? My Bible, my photo album, things like that, right? Things that you hold precious.
Right.
Jesus would answer, the glory of God is what I hold precious.
Wow. Yes, indeed.
My Lord.
Wow.
And so Jesus sees them, and of course he drives them out. But here's what's interesting. If you read the other gospel accounts, now John writes and he puts this account in the beginning of the gospel. Matthew, Mark, and Luke actually puts it at the last week of Jesus' ministry. Now scholars will say, oh, it's actually one event, and John just moves it to the front of this book for theological purposes. I don't buy that.
Right.
Because when Jesus does it at the end of his ministry, it actually is the last straw that's like, okay, now we're really going to get the guy.
Wow.
Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up, Jesus says. By the way, you guys know this. Jesus actually is, by virtue of what he does in the Cana, wedding at Cana, in this story, he's actually replacing all of these festivals because he's fulfilling each one. See, John writes his gospel around various festivals. He writes it about, you know, the wedding festival and the Passover festival. He orchestrates it around various Jewish things.
Right.
Weddings, rabbis, bread, water, things that they would have understood.
Yes.
Okay? Huh. Wow. So he shows that Jesus is the fulfillment of those things.
That's right. Yes.
Now,
that's good.
That's real good.
That's what he says to, he transforms that wedding in Cana. See, he's the real bridegroom.
Right.
And so he transformed that picture into something that anticipates the true wedding between me and the church.
Yes.
Okay. Where John the Baptist says, I'm the friend of the bridegroom. And when the groom comes, hey, he celebrates that. When he comes into the temple of Jerusalem, he shows that, and in the story, he shows that now he is now the new temple.
Yes.
That he himself carries the presence of God.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Wow. Later on, the next chapter, it says he talks with a rabbi. He talks with the teacher of Israel and teaches the teacher of Israel because he is now the true teacher of Israel.
Come on. Amen.
That's
great.
Come on.
That's good stuff.
Then he meets a woman in John chapter 4 who's thirsty.
Yes.
And just as those children of Israel had to go in the desert, and God had to supply water, Jesus says, I'm the true water that's going to feed your soul.
Amen.
Yes. I'm not talking about this today. I'm just, you know, this
that's
is
good.
Just
it's good. It's good.
He is.
It's good.
See, the Jews had the Sabbath, right?
Yes, they did.
Where they rested. Now, yesterday was Saturday, right? You're supposed to rest on Saturday. We went for a hike. We went for a hike like 5 or 6 miles. They were exhausted. But Jesus himself replaces that with the truth chapter, which is himself. We rest in the first work of Christ.
Wow. Look at that.
See, John is doing this throughout his gospel, showing how Christ fulfilled it. That's why he says, I am the bread from heaven.
I am the bread.
Right?
I am.
Yes.
That bread in the Old Testament now points forward to Christ.
That's right.
Yes.
So when Jesus comes in, I said, when Jesus is more concerned What did I say?
With the glory
that is what?
That is.
I wrote it down, but yeah, I forgot what I said. Starbucks is not kicking in. You guys listen, I'm jealous, okay? Because y'all got Starbucks right here. Coffee ministry.
Yes.
That's important. Listen, it's important for coffee to be in the morning.
Yes.
And after you have your lunch and you feel like taking a siesta.
That's right.
Come on. Listen, God is more concerned. Jesus is more concerned with the displaying the glory of God through you than you are aware of the glory that is in you.
Right. Wow. Yes.
All right. I'm still going somewhere. Just.
We're with you.
I'm still going somewhere.
Can you say it again, Pastor John?
Yeah, God is more concerned, or Jesus is more concerned, with displaying the glory of God through you than you are aware of the glory of God that is in you.
That is so good.
Now, other Gospels, as I said, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, put this at the end. And one thing that Jesus points to in those Gospels is what they were doing. Go to Matthew chapter 21. We'll just take a look at one. And you guys know this, but just by way of reminder. Matthew 21. You guys have air conditioning? Because we're just about to. We're just coming out of my mouth, so I.
That's right.
There's a disclosure.
Let it flow.
Matthew writes this. In Matthew 21:12, it writes that Jesus enters the temple. He drives out the money changers and those who are selling doves and everything. In verse 13, he said, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of what?
Prayer.
By the way, that's my prayer for our church. I mean, you guys are already a house of prayer. That's my prayer. I think every church should be a house of prayer.
Amen.
You ought to be able to go. It ought to be that you go and either prayed for, prayed with, or prayed over something.
Yes.
And not be that you lead church and not have experienced God in prayer.
Yes.
It ought to be that prayer ought to be the incense that goes on you, right?
Yes.
It ought to be not abnormal for you to experience prayer at church of all places. It ought to be a place of prayer.
Yes.
I don't want to go sometimes and just sit and pray.
Yes.
Or be prayed for.
Yes.
I'm not looking for this to be a checkbox off my list. Do I
get
church
today? Right.
I did my part. It's Sunday, you know.
Right.
I feel great about myself. No, I want it to be where I want to experience God.
Yes.
Amen. And I don't want to take that to my Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, right?
Yes.
And I'm telling you, you guys are, I want to replicate you guys because y'all pray.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
God will do more powerful things because of prayer or anything else.
Yes, Lord.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
But Jesus says this, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers, a robber's den. You're taking advantage of the people.
Yes.
Matthew points it out. Mark points it out.
Right.
Luke points it out. In fact, in the Old Testament, which I like the Old Testament because it's God's word.
Right.
The idea of a temple cleansing was not new. Let me just read a couple of verses to you. Isaiah 56:7 says, "Even those I will bring to my holy mountain, and I will make them joyful in my house of prayer." Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be acceptable up my altar. For my house will be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Jesus, and Matthew actually quotes from Jeremiah 7:11. Slurpee.
Amen.
He quotes from Jeremiah 7:11. become a den of robbers in your sight?
Wow.
Behold, I, even I, have seen it. Last verse I want to quote from the Old Testament, Malachi 3:1 says, behold, I'm going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before you. That's John the Baptist.
Yes.
And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple.
Right.
And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming. This is Jesus fulfilling this prophecy here. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke points to the fact that what was going on, but John doesn't do that. In the text, John doesn't point out that they were being taken advantage of. Go back to John. I want to show you something.
Wow. Okay.
John says this, because this really, I was like, Lord, what's the big deal here? wasn't it a good thing that people had to have proper animals to have, right? Wasn't that a good thing? Wasn't it a good thing for people to be able to pay their shekel or their, you know, temple tax, because you had to support the ministry of the temple and all the, you know, the worldwide, you know, ministry of the temple. So I was like, Lord, what's the big deal here? Why are you so upset? Verse 16, John 2:16 says this. He says, take these things away. Stop making my Father's house a what?
Marketplace.
Take these things away. Stop making my Father's house
a place of business.
Yes. It's not just the fact that they were being taken advantage of, Matthew, Mark, and Luke.
Wow.
John points out the fact is this should not even be happening on the temple courts.
Wow.
That's
wow.
So true.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah.
What does this here have to do with what's in there?
Oh, come on.
Wow.
God is more concerned. Jesus is more concerned with the glory where? It is working its way. Read it to me now. God is more concerned with displaying the glory of God through you than you are aware of the glory that's in you. Watch this. Can you imagine that you are one of the temple workers who's doing the business and everything else?
Yes.
You're supposed to be representing and enhancing people's walk with God
by
knowing you're taking advantage of them, and you are a hindrance to people from drawing near to God, not realizing you're the presence of God. So you may be out in the Gentile courts where maybe they're you know, on the outer courts, and they're, you know, 100 yards away, let's say. It's enough distance. You're on the outer courts. Well, what's the big deal? Well, what's the big deal? I mean, come on. The Holy of Holies is over there. And I'm only on the outer courts here. Right?
Come on, sir.
What's the big deal? By the way,
speak to us. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to us, Lord.
So, where were the animals before?
They
were in the Mount of Olives.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Jesus.
And then somehow they brought to the outer courts, the Gentile courts. Mm-hmm. Pause a little bit. If you're a Gentile and you want to know this God, and you come in, now imagine the scene. So you've got 200 feet, whatever it is. When you went into the temple in this area where they would do the selling and the buying, you had station after station after station after station. You had an entry into the main temple area, which is like right here, and you had station after station after station. Mm-hmm. You're coming into the temple of God. How many of you guys have been to the zoo before?
Yes.
Yeah.
How many guys like going to the zoo?
Yes.
Love going to the zoo. Now imagine you're working at the zoo. You're coming to the temple, and here's Jesus. What's
That's right.
What am I hearing? Mm. You're coming to draw near to God. You want to come and pray.
Yes. Mm.
Wow.
And what are you hearing?
Yes.
Animals.
Oh,
wow.
Distractions. So good.
Wow.
Go ahead, John.
Speak.
You want to come near to God.
Yes.
And you are confronted
with.
With bleeding a sheep?
Yes.
How much do you want for this? I'll have. Oh, that's too much money. All this going
on.
What a ripoff! I thought this was a godly place.
Oh. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
That's good.
Wow. Jesus comes on the scene, realizing who's there.
Yes.
Realizing what's there.
Right.
This is on the temple itself that is now supposed to communicate the glory of God.
Yes.
And now it's a hindrance to displaying God's glory.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
What's the big deal, Jesus? What's the big deal? It's on the outer courts. It's on the Gentile courts. What does that matter? It's outside. The Holy Voice is over there. What's that matter? Listen, here's what matters. Because whatever's on the outer courts of our life will soon affect what's on the inner courts of our life.
You better preach.
Whatever's on the outer courts in our life. See, it went from the Mount of Olives. Then it goes out to the court of Gentiles. Where does it stop from there?
Where does it stop?
This one on. Now here's the thing.
That's right.
Jesus is the only one who says anything.
Oh,
yes. Come on,
the only one.
Year after year after year.
Wow.
After year. Jesus sees us. And he does something about it. Year after year. How does this happen? How does it happen that something, it creeps in. It starts with compromise, doesn't it?
Come on, son.
Right? It starts with compromise. You would draw the line in the past. You wouldn't even have that conversation. That wouldn't that enter your mind. You would turn that off, flip the page, flip the channel, change your friends, whatever it is. You wouldn't even put up with that before.
Right.
But somehow.
Somehow.
Compromise.
It starts with a compromise.
Sneaks in.
It sneaks in.
Preach.
And after a compromise comes in, what happens next? You become complacent.
That's so good.
You learn to put up with it.
Put up with it.
You would never allow somebody to talk to you like that before and devalue you and put you down like that before. But somehow, you can come to accept it and almost get used to it.
Jesus. My God.
Come on, sir.
You learn to live with it.
You
learn to tolerate how you've been talked to.
Yes.
You learn to lower the standards a little bit.
Lower the standards.
Yes, it's on the fringes of my life. But whatever's on the outskirts, the outer course of life will
eventually
affect.
Come on.
Yes, it will.
You see the scene. Can you imagine? Jesus comes on here in John. Stop making my father's house a place of business. My father's house has nothing to do with what's supposed to. Take this elsewhere. Take this somewhere else, right?
Yes.
And how do they respond? How do the people who are in charge of it? They don't respond saying, oh, you're so right.
Right.
You're so right. What did they say? Look at the text. Verse 18. The Jews said, what sign do you show us as authority? Wait. The very fact that he is the only one who comes in and wants a clean house is the sign itself.
Yes.
That brings to complacency. Learn to live with it. And here's where here's where they're at. The third one is now you're conditioned.
Yes.
You're conditioned to now expect it.
That's so good.
And defend it.
Defend it.
Yes.
And defend it.
It used to be something you never even
consider it.
And I'm gonna keep it.
Yeah.
Whoa. You guys ever see Lord of the Rings, Hobbit?
Yes.
There is
what used to be dangerous and off limits and destructive to your life. You don't want to live without it.
Right.
You got to hold on to it. You don't want to let go of it. You become so conditioned that now it's a part of you.
It's a part of you.
And Jesus is in the ministry. Listen, sister, you don't realize what this that does to you.
Right.
Because you know what's going to do to you. It's going to destroy you.
Right.
Oh, Jesus.
You think you got a handle on it, but you can't let it go.
Yeah. Come on, sir.
See what happens? This all shifts. Now the direction. Now your attention's on this.
Oh.
And not on.
Not on the glory. That's right. Not on that glory.
Help us.
See, the ministry that the Lord wants to do is this. Yes. He wants to clean it out.
Yeah.
He wants to remove it. What will you tolerate in your outer courts of your life?
Oh!
What will you tolerate in the outer courts of your life?
Jesus.
What do I tolerate? That's it. What do I tolerate?
Yes.
Because what do I tolerate in my outer courts? Diminishes the value of the glory that's divine.
Yes.
Glory of God. What I tolerate diminishes that. People don't see Jesus. They see
this stuff.
Hot men.
I'm a walking contradiction.
The
Spirit of God.
Yes.
You know, Jesus is the temple of God, but he made his church also what? We are also the temple of God. The Holy Spirit indwells us.
Yes.
We become a walking contradiction.
Yes.
Forgive us.
People don't see the glory of God through us because we're holding on to our precious
stuff.
Our
precious. Right. Oh, come on.
We become smoke screen.
Jesus.
My God. Wow.
Lord, have mercy.
Wow.
Lord, forgive us.
Forgive us. I said diminishes, right?
Yes.
It diminishes, right? It distracts.
Yes.
Yes, it does.
Yes.
See, I think the Lord is being very merciful in this text. Because he is so wanting to display his glory through you and through me. That he will, in his grace, remove those things from our lives.
Absolutely.
Those things, those people, those hang-ups that we want to hold on to, he wants to remove.
Clean them out.
Because he wants to clean. He's concerned Whatever I tolerate in my own life may diminish. It may devalue. It may redefine.
Ooh, wow.
See, I think it's interesting that this went on for some time.
Oh, right.
Yes.
This became normal. Jesus comes on the scene. Let me redefine the situation here. Because the temple, the holiness of God is not just displayed on the innermost portions of the temple.
Right.
It's
right.
On every portion, every quarter belongs to the Lord.
Yes.
See, that's why as Christians we can't be one way to some people, one way on one day.
Uh-oh. Help us.
You preach that.
See, God claims for himself every quarter of our life.
Yes, he does.
So you think you can keep at bay and have a little bit here and some godliness here, and Jesus will not have any of that.
He won't have any of it.
He desires to show forth his glory.
Yes.
See, it becomes a distraction, doesn't it?
It does.
Oh.
It becomes a major distraction because now your attention is diverted.
Yeah.
And like, and you're no longer experienced. The presence of God is no longer experienced in your life.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
Glory to your great
name.
What do I tolerate in the outer courts of my life? Go to Zechariah chapter 14. I'm going to finish in a second here. Zechariah 14. I want to show you something. This is actually where history wants to go, where Jesus is going. Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14.
Yes,
it is. Zechariah 14. It's just a little, it seems like an insignificant passage of scripture, but it ties to what we're talking about here.
Yes, yes.
Zechariah, he's actually talking about a time when Jerusalem will be sort of the center of attention of the world, so to speak. Verse 16, then it will come about in that day, any who are left in all the nations that went against Jerusalem will go up from year to year to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, to celebrate the Feast of Booths. Skip on down to verse 20. In that day, there will be inscribed on the bells of the horses, holy to the Lord.
Yes,
holy to the Lord.
Which is actually what the high priest had inscribed on him.
Right.
Holy to the Lord on the bells of the horses. And the cooking pots in the Lord's house will be like the bowls before the altar.
Right, right.
Wow.
Watch this, verse 21. Every cooking pot where?
In Jerusalem.
And Judah will be what?
Holy
to the Lord of hosts.
Yes.
So what does that have to do with? God doesn't just claim the outer courts of your life. It is everything in Jerusalem of your life. Everything in Judah of your life that's holy to the Lord.
Yes.
There's not one thing that does not belong to God in your life. There's no division between what your business is and what God's business is. There's no division between the two.
Yes.
Every area of your life, God is claiming for himself.
Area.
Thank you, Lord.
It's all yours, Lord. Everything.
Have your way, Lord. Your way, your way.
I think the Lord wants to, and he desires to do this. Let's move this all away. Let's take this away. Let's get your vision back on him.
Yes.
Preach. Amen. Preach.
Thank you.
That's right.
What you've become accustomed to, what you've become attached to, it's not for your good. And it's not for my Father's glory. Let me clean it out of your life.
Yes, Lord.
The people that you used to hang with, the people you used to talk with, he's moved out of your life. Right? The influences in your life, he's moved out of the way. And you're kind of sorry about that. You're sorry, you're grieving over that, but that's God's doing. Because he wants what? He wants to display his glory through you.
Yeah.
More than you realize the glory of God that's in you. You know, maybe God's speaking to you right now, and maybe there's areas that you know he wants to clean out.
Clean it out, Lord.
God desires to display his glory through you more than you realize the glory that indwells you. You know, our prayer is always, God, use me. Live your life through me. Be glorified through me, right?
Yes.
So when he says to you, let me take this out.
Yes.
Let me cleanse you here.
Uh-huh.
It's a good thing.
Yes. Prune the branch, Lord.
Don't do that work. I'm not good at landing the plane.
While the Lord is using him, the altar is open.
That's what I was going to say. That.
Yeah.
I was going to say that. Y'all have a big altar here.
Hallelujah.
You know. God is zealous.
Yes, he is.
Yes.
For God's glory, wherever it is at. He is zealous for his glory in whatever house he dwells. He's zealous for that glory.
Yes.
He's zealous that God is honored and glorified. That even the angels in heaven that surround the throne are so concerned with not detracting from his glory, that they cover themselves with their wings, their flapping, to the wings, and to the covering, and to the... They still want God to be glorified in everything. So that to distract, so that God gets glory, so that people get to behold a vision of who God really is, and then they're changed. Let's pray. Father, thank you for sending your son to clean house. Father, I pray that as you do your ministry, your Holy Spirit in this house, God, you are speaking to people's hearts of those areas that perhaps they're beginning to compromise on. Maybe there's some areas that we have become used to and complacent. And maybe there's those areas that we're having a hard time living without. Lord, would you do your ministry of cleaning our hearts, not just the inner portions, but the outer parts of our lives.
Yes.
That every portion of our life, in our own Jerusalem, in our own Judah, would be holy as unto you, God.
Yes.
Have your way with us, Lord.
Yes.
Do your work of purification, of cleansing,
yes,
in such a way that God's glory is displayed uninhibited,
yes,
in his full glory, that people, when they encounter us, they don't see us, they see Jesus.
Yes. Yes.
Lord, we desire to be tellers that display the glory of God so that God is honored. Now, Lord, I pray that you would do your ministry here this morning. If there's anyone, people that want to come and pray or come to the altar and ask Jesus for cleansing, or know that God is dealing with you on a particular issue and that you want to surrender that, or maybe you're having a hard time letting it go and you know that it has a grip on you, you may come to the altar and pray, and I know others will come and pray with you. Father, thank you for this time in your word. In Jesus' name.